Derek's a contractor down in the South, and he was doing $500,000 a year. He was stuck there. He was plateaued. And then within 1 year, he grew his business to $2.5 million and more than doubled his gross profit. And listen, he did it because he finally chose to go to war with the limiting beliefs that were holding him back. I'm doing a 4-part free training right now. Just click the link and you can jump in and learn some of the things that Derek implemented that you can implement right now in your business to demolish your negative self-talk and establish the best habits that are going to make you the money that you deserve to make as a home improvement contractor. I'm out.
Fighters, is your contracting business sick? You know, I was thinking back several years ago. I think it was the first year I started my company. I was working alone. I was doing an ungodly amount of caulking on this one house. And, you know, your fingers get all raw and all that stuff. And I got some infection in one of my fingers. And it ballooned up like a banana. It was the most painful thing in the world. Went to the ER. They had to, like, lance the thing. They gave me all these antibiotics and shots. I mean, it was a serious thing, man. And, you know, it's funny. When you have a health issue like that, or when you're sick, you got a toothache, you got a sore throat, you know, you got the flu, or maybe there's something more serious that you're dealing with, you know, nothing matters but your health, right? And as human beings, our health is everything. All the money in the world is useless unless you're, you know, if you're sick and dying. And, you know, that's why it's important to eat right, exercise, get a physical now and then, make sure that you can catch an issue before it becomes a bigger issue. And similarly, that's always a fun word for me to say, similarly, you guys ever have a word like that? That just, you're its little bitch. Anyway, the health of your business is everything as well. You know, when's the last time you conducted a business physical? Are you confident that you're taking care of your business in a way that is going to give you the healthy results that you want for the long run? And so I want to start here today as I give you 8 signs. There's other signs, but I think these are some of the most common ones I see. In no way do I think I have a corner on the market on the only 8 things in the world, but 8 signs that you have a sick and dying business. Now, I say dying because if you don't address things, they grow into bigger issues, right? If I had not gone in and dealt with my finger, worse things could have happened. I mean, not too long after that, actually, I had a cousin of mine. He was like 35 years old. He got a cut on his finger at work. And within a couple of days, he was dead. All right. Had a crazy infection that went through his body. Terrible story. Okay. Same thing with your business, guys. You know, if you don't deal with things when they're small, they're going to get bigger and more serious. And so you got to get real with yourself and your situation. For some of you, there's still time to turn things around. Maybe for some of you, it might be time to just tap out. I don't know where you're at, but anyway, take the necessary actions. Don't procrastinate because your business is not going to fix itself. So the first indicator, first sign that I think you have a sick and dying business is simply you have a constant lack of cash flow. Like, you never have cash. You guys, you got to remember, cash is king. If you're looking at your business bank account and you're consistently holding your breath until the next deposit comes in, you have a sick company. All right. Cash flow in some seasons of business, some seasons of the year is actually more important than profit. In fact, I remember there were years in the wintertime running a painting business in the Midwest. We didn't have the exterior season like I know a lot of you guys don't have, right? So our goal in the winter months was to break even. You know, if our overhead was 30 grand a month and we're producing at a 50% gross profit, we had to deposit 60 grand a month into the bank to break even. That's with zero net profit. That's just paying our salaries and the field and overhead and all that other crap. Okay. So the cash flow was more important than our net profit. So hopefully that makes sense. I don't want to dig into it too much. All right. So guys, cash is king. Remember that. Number two, second thing. You're not paying yourself a fair market salary. This is such a huge thing. One of the things that I want to point out to you guys, or remind you of, your net profit of the business is separate from the salary you should be paying yourself from the business as the owner. They're two separate things. Okay. They're not one and the same. There's a lot of guys that are like, oh, I got a 30% net profit. And then they're taking their pay out of that and paying themselves. And that's, you're skewing the math there. All right. You get paid a salary for what you do in the business, and you get a return on what you own with your net profit. That is a key distinction. So listen, second indicator is you're not paying yourself a fair market salary. So what would you be paid if you worked for somebody else, doing the things that you're doing, the roles that you're doing in the business right now in your company? What would it take for you to work for somebody else? Would you work for somebody else fulfilling all these roles for the money you're currently getting now in your business? If not, guys, it's time to fix that stuff. Some of you still work in the field. All right, you should be paying yourself for the field time, and then maybe 50% of your time is spent in CEO duties. Well, whatever the main CEO salary would be in the business at 100% role, if you're only paying 50% or doing 50% of the time in that, then you can adjust and pay yourself 50% of that salary. There's a lot of ways to do this. Point is here, you must be paying yourself a fair market salary. A lot of guys are like, well, I'm not taking money from the business now, and I'm investing everything back in the business, all my profits. I get that, but that your profits are separate from your salary. Does that make sense? Shake your head yes if it does, and no if it doesn't. This is an audio thing, so I don't know what you're doing, and I can't help you no matter what you shake your head there. So, but guys, if you're when people say I take my profits, that's what's left over after you pay all the salaries, including yours. Okay, so you must pay yourself. You have to get oxygen at home for yourself, or you're going to drive yourself crazy. Number three indicator, or a sign that you have a sick business, you have a low pre-tax profit. Okay, so your pre-tax profit is what's left over after all expenses, including your salary, because your salary is part of the expenses. After all that stuff's paid, what's left is your pre-tax salary or profit, net profit in the business. Now, I believe that if this number is less than 10% of your total revenue, so let's say you have a $300,000 business, and after you pay yourself and all the bills of the business and cost of goods and your overhead, again, overhead includes a fair market wage to you. If you only had 15 grand in net profit, that's like 5% of the 300,000. That's a sick business. It's got to be at least 30, and that's even pushing it. All right. So make sure that you are taking the right steps needed to make sure that you have a higher pre-tax profit after salaries and all the expenses. Why do so many consumers give contractors shit about what we charge? You know, it's okay for other professions to make 100, 200, 300 grand a year in personal income, but when you try to run a real contracting business that adds value to your community and you want to build a team and give your employees a great life, you want to have a great life as an owner, they want to have you break your bid down. They start questioning shit like, well, how much profit are you making? That never happens with other industries, and I'm sick and tired of it. You don't see that in other professions. It's about time as a contractor that you start earning what you're worth. And more so than ever with inflation and all the stuff going on in the world, you need to make money because the dollar ain't worth what it used to be. And so I'm doing a four-part special video training for you guys on how to earn what you're worth in any economy. You're going to want to be there. We're going to go deep into the things that are rolling around in your head, and I'm going to connect some dots for you that are going to open your eyes and help you make more money on your very next project that you do. So hit the link, register for this special video training series that we're doing here in the Contractor Fight. I look forward to seeing you there. You guys rock. I got to roll. I'm out. Number four, you're borrowing money to survive. Some of you are all driving along this now and your sphincter's tightened up. And I said that because you're guilty as fuck. Your credit card balances keep growing. You go to the payday loan companies to float you another month, or maybe you do a relative. You start thinking like, oh, I got to get an investor. You dip into your bank's line of credit to pay the normal expenses in the business, like your salary and office rent and marketing and shit like that. Your debt is growing. Your credit cards are getting declined. Guys, the number of people that hop onto our website at thecontractorfight.com to buy our courses, we have a lot of awesome courses there to help people. We got things for like $197, $200. I think we got some things for $47, $60, 20. We even have some $20 something things that are out there. And it's comical but sad how many credit cards we see get denied for under $100. All right. And you can see guys are trying over and over and over to get the card to run. All right. Guys, this is a problem. If you borrowing money to survive and pay your normal bills in the business, that is a problem. Okay. As you grow and you get a handle on your numbers and you want to, you know, scale and expand the business, there is good debt that you can leverage against to buy certain equipment that's going to produce revenue and profit. But that's the long game, guys. That's a bigger business that has their shit together with their money. Those guys are not, you know, borrowing money just to survive and pay the normal bills. And I've done this, by the way, way, way back in the day, in the early 2000s. I know what it's like dipping into the company bank line of credit to pay my salary. All right. That was a huge sign that I had a sick business. All right. Number five, I think we're on. I just wrote these down. I didn't number them. Leads are low quality or inconsistent. Y'all, you like that? Y'all, that was for my Southern brethren. Without consistent high quality leads coming into the business every damn day, you will live on the edge of illness. How many leads do you need? You got to figure that out. And it's simple. Here's the formula. You take your revenue goal divided by your average job size. That'll tell you the number of sales you need in a given period. All right. So I'll do some math with you here to idiot proof it. Okay. Let's talk a month. Say your revenue goal for the month is $75,000. You know, you've reverse engineered your break even point. And so, you know, you got to bring in 75 and you're going to keep, you know, whatever your gross profit is. And that's going to even out and zero you out to pay for your overhead and break even. Okay. So your break even revenue goal is 75 grand. All right. And your average job size is say $5,000. You divide 75,000 by the 5 grand. We need 15 jobs, 15 sales. Now you take the 15 sales, divide it by your sales closing rate. Say it's 35% divided by 0.35, 15 divided by 0.35. You need 43 leads, which is more than one lead a day on average. Okay. You must be fanatical about lead flow. All right. And this is for those of you that just don't, you know, you're not interested in living on the edge of being sick as a business all the time. You got to be fanatical about your lead flow. And if you're not, you are going to struggle. Okay. Number six, seven, eight. Yeah, I think we're in six here. Here we go. You're busy. You're working. Damn near working 6 days a week. You could probably work 7 days a week, but you never have any money. Maybe you added a crew. Guys are pulling overtime. Maybe you're working 7 days a week. You're busy. The phone's ringing, this and that. But you look at the bank account, there's never enough money. You're never getting ahead. The debt's going up. Most likely, you have a gross profit issue. All right? You keep feeding the machine, hoping that eventually you're going to make money. Well, you cannot scale yourself to profitability. All right? So the problem here is you're either selling at too low of a rate of a gross profit, or you can't produce them at the estimated margins. A lot of people will sell at, you know, 50% gross profit like we teach, but then they fulfill the jobs at a 30 or 35 or a 20 because their production side, their operations are a shit show. Okay. It's two wings of the airplane, right? You got to sell right and you got to produce right. And the closer you are to balancing that out, if I sell at 50, I want to be producing at maybe minimum of a 46, 48%. I want to hover between that 48 to 52, 55. We used to do hundreds of projects a year and we always hovered within like that 5% range, you know, 2-3% one way or the other. All right. That's always a good balance. So if you're busy and never have any money, you got a sick, sick business because there's nothing worse than being really busy and have nothing to show for it. All right. Give me a helmet tap if you agree. Number seven, you don't have up-to-date books. All right. Maybe nobody's doing the bookkeeping in your business on a consistent basis, or whoever's doing them is messing them up, which we see a lot. This creates false data that hurts your decision-making abilities in the business. I can't tell you how many companies make terrible decisions because their books are a mess. I have somebody that I work with. They do about $9 million a year, and they couldn't answer, the owner couldn't answer some basic things because the books were not up to date. All right. So I jumped his ass and I'm like, dude, let's go. This is your number one, you know, focus of the first quarter of 2024 is get your books in order. Okay. Because you can't make decisions. You can't forecast your growth and your profit and your cash flow if your books are not up to date. Let me say this also. Most bookkeepers that are out there, they use like QuickBooks right out of the box. Now, I'm going off what my CEO, my CFO, my bookkeeper have told me. All right. So that's my condition here about what I'm going to say, because I don't use QuickBooks personally. I have people that do that, right? They will tell you that right out of the box, QuickBooks is not set up for a construction business. All right. They take like your field labor is down in overhead and your chart of accounts, whatever you want to call it, are all jacked up. So you got to make sure that you are working with somebody who has a history of helping contractors with their books. All right. Make sure they're up to date. Up to date meaning, you know, if the month ends, you know, the month ends within the next 10 days of the next month, your books are all reconciled and you have up to date information. All right. That's acceptable. Number eight. Final one here. I want to talk about an indicator or sign you have a sick business. You have irregular meetings. You're not taking time each week to put your eyes on your cash flow, your profit, the leads coming in, you know, open projects that need to be wrapped up and loose ends so that you can invoice. You know, you're not putting your eyes on the production or any of the other key things in the business, and you're winging it and you're hoping for great results, right? And I can tell you again, from personal experience, that ain't going to cut it. So make sure, like I just talked about books being up to date, all right? We have a weekly money meeting in our business, and then we have a monthly money meeting in our business, which has other topics in it. Each and every week, our core fight team, we go over certain KPIs that we report on, like, you know, how many emails were sent? How many email opt-ins do we have? How many pieces of content did we create? How many members are in our battleground program? What is our churn? What's our days of cash available? We track all of these things every single week. All right. If you're not doing that, then you're just running your business as a hobby. So get your head out of your ass and get serious about this. All right. So listen, there are a lot of things you got to get right as a business owner. And remember, once you open the company, the actual trade you do, the work, the physical work, fixing the thing, building the thing, painting the thing, is no longer your number one role. Your top right priority is to run a healthy company, and you got to do your job. That is your job. Run a healthy business. So hopefully you got a couple things here that you can look in the mirror and examine in your own business. Y'all, I did that y'all thing again. If you want help in your business, you want to talk to somebody on our team about jumping into Battleground, go to thecontractorfight.com/help, and you can schedule a call. And if you qualify, we can help you move faster to the success that you want. But either way, no matter what you do, don't let another day go by where you tolerate, you know, unhealthiness in your business. Just like I said at the top, you got to eat right, exercise, you know, get a physical, make sure that you're on top of these things. You got to do the same thing for the health of your business. Appreciate you guys. Share the show. Give us a rating. The more ratings we get, guys, more contractors we can help, and it raises the tide for all the ships that are out there like you. Appreciate you being part of the fight. You guys rock. I got to roll. I'm out.